Holy Spirit, give her your thoughts. Let her hear what you hear. Speak what you speak. I thank you for a peace to come over her, God. I thank you that her purpose is pulled out of her today. God, we pull the anointing out of her, God. We want every drop of it. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, church, today you better be talking back. I can handle it, but you better be good to my mama, all right? Love you.
Thank you. All right. Thank you. Okay, let's all stand to our feet and give him the praise. Because without him, we can't do anything. Not anything good anyway. So, Father God, we thank you. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We welcome you into our presence today. We thank you that you will do whatever you need to do. You'll say whatever you need to say. You touch whoever needs to be touched today. And I thank you, Father God, that you speak through me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this is exciting, and I know people have been wanting to know what I've taught. How many of you have a guess? I have three, well, the staff don't count, so. They do, but not for that. I have three, probably at least three, that are my very favorite topics. Anybody have a guess? Nobody does. Okay, how about if I give you three to pick from? Strongholds. I love to teach about that. Healing and the words that you speak. What did you think? Everybody thinks words? You all win $100. I'm kidding about that. In Monopoly money. Okay, except I didn't bring Monopoly money, so. This is so important, the words that we speak. And, I mean, a lot of people just don't get it. We're not taught that very much. I mean, I think I heard, and I can't even remember who taught it, years and years ago, and it literally changed my life. Because growing up, you know, everybody said whatever they thought or didn't say anything. You know, they would talk about, oh, how sick I've been. I'm going to get the flu because it's flu season and it's really bad this year, and I always get it. Just stupid things like that. But that's how the world talks, right? I just, you know, my feet are killing me. Are they? Are your feet going to kill you? I mean, we just say things, but well, by saying things like that, I mean, my grandma used to say, it tickled me to death. And I'm like, and I thought that was a normal way to talk until I heard a teaching on it, and it's like, that's really a horrible thing to say. So I allowed the Holy Spirit to clean up my vocabulary. It's not perfect. Sometimes it's like, sorry, God. I always say sorry. But we're going to pray about that at the end. But I allowed him to clean it up, and it's amazing what you're like, I can't say that. I better not say that. That's not what I want. Because we're made in the image and likeness of God, right? And how did he create all of this? He spoke it. He didn't speak, well, this isn't going to turn out good, but He didn't speak anything like that. Well, I'm going to make this one pretty stupid. I mean, no. He spoke exactly on purpose, exactly what he wanted, exactly what he desired. And that's how he wants us to talk. And not talk about stupid. I mean, things are funny or not. Things used to be more funny to me than they are now. But it's okay to kid around, but when you are derogatory and negative, it is not. Because you're creating your world. So as you think about, while I'm speaking about this, and I forgot my water, I forgot it. Get dry mouth up here real easy. I want you to think about how is your life going? Thank you. And could it be better? And then really think, really concentrate. What are you talking about? What are the words that come out of your mouth about your kids, about your marriage, about your boss, about your finances, about your physical body? A lot of people don't like the way they look. They always have something to complain about. But you know, God created you the way he wanted you. And we have no right to complain. Like, gosh, I wish I had blue eyes. Well, I have green eyes, and, you know, so they still see. Any color they are, they still see. I wish I had real blonde hair. Ha ha. You know, or I wish I had more hair, or I wish I had less hair. People are never satisfied, but we should be, because God made us exactly. He created us in the womb of our mother, and we should be happy about it. Now, that's not to say that kids that are born disabled or whatever, that he did that, because he didn't. Nobody, you don't agree? He did not, because there is an enemy, right? But that doesn't mean there's not healing. One second. I know this is huge, but I drink it pretty fast. Okay, so let's start with, so I have three different kinds of notes here. The favorite one is not in my computer anymore, so I will have to redo it when I have more time to redo it. And all the others are in the computer, so I'm kind of going back and forth with new stuff and old stuff, but I think the old one's probably the best, okay? So I want to bring this out to you first of all. 2 Corinthians 10:3-6, and I am sorry, sound booth, I did not give you scriptures, but hopefully you can find them anyway. 2 Corinthians 10:3-6. And I'm not going to read all 3 through 6, but I'm just going to read a part of it, but you can do that on your own time. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. That means they're not fleshly, they're not physical. But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. They're not carnal. We can't do it with our flesh. But we do it by praying in the Spirit and by staying in the Word, which is spiritual. And it's alive. Amen? Yeah. And you pull down thoughts. It does say, take no thought captive by saying it. So if you get, you know, I grew up this way. You get a thought, you speak it out, you kind of give it life, right? Even today, if you speak out a goofy thought or something that you think might be okay, but it's not from God and it's not your thought, don't say it. This is something that's learned behavior. You have to practice. You have to listen to the Holy Spirit, because he's so good at, he's so gentle too. I mean, I can't remember what I said the other day. I said something. And he's like, Deborah. I'm like, sorry, did not mean to say that. I pull that down. Because what we say, and the more we think about stuff that isn't right, it creates a stronghold in your mind. That's what the Bible says. And it becomes bigger and bigger. And then when we loose it with our tongue, we add cement to it, and it just gets stronger and stronger until you don't know, you kind of feel like you're going crazy. Anybody ever felt that way? Yeah. And you have to pull it down with the Word of God. You have to tell your thoughts to get in line, to be obedient to the Word, to be obedient to the Holy Ghost. And we're going to pray about that when we're done. The very same thing that I prayed years ago. And I'm so glad, because I was kind of a mess with, you know, you just say, you grow up with people saying all kinds of goofball stuff, and it's like, oh, that's how we are. We're supposed to accept everything and just, you know, that's just the way it is. Like, no, I don't want any of that stuff. Do you? I want my life to be better, for my future to be better. And the better we speak, the more the Word we speak, the better everything gets. But if we talk about what we have, that's what we'll have. Talk about what you want, and then that's what you'll have. It's so important. That's Mark. That's for free. That's Mark 11:23-24 or something like that. I'm way ahead of myself here. So anyway, when we take care of the bad strongholds that we've allowed to build up in our heads, in our thought process, in our emotions even, it just kind of takes over. then we can break that. Sometimes brick by brick. That's how it got there, brick by brick. That's what I picture when I think stronghold. It's like a fortress. It's like, here's, oh, I just thought about this too much. I just planted a brick. Do you plant bricks? I don't think so. But you put, you I don't know what you do with bricks. You set them? Set them. And then you keep going, and then you set another brick. And pretty soon you have this huge castle built up, and this is how you what you believe now, because you've been adding to this for years and years, and it just kind of destroys everything around you. It destroys how you think about yourself, how you feel about other people, blah, 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 everything. But when you allow God to break it down and start thinking correct things, and it is a process. You can't just ta-da one day and it's all gone, because it didn't get there like that. So you have to continue to apply the word and speak the word and meditate on God and do your, you know, pray and read the word and pray in the Holy Spirit. If you don't know how to do that, come and see us afterwards. That is the biggest tool and the biggest weapon we probably have. And I'll tell you a little story, because the last 5 years, not including, well, the last one too, but when we were hearing all this stuff about Jim, Pastor Jim, and it was during the mask season, so we're sitting there, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. They couldn't hear me. They didn't know I was saying it, but we both were doing that, rebuking. I pull those words down. I do not accept that. And we heard a lot of stuff. And it's like, that is not what we believe. This is what we believe. You're healed by the stripes of Jesus. He said that probably 1,000 times, maybe more. The last few days of his life, he was still saying that. He still believed it. What a guy. But in the last couple of weeks, probably when we heard the worst news, I'm just like, we didn't speak. He goes, I'm not afraid. I'm like, neither am I. Because that was dealt with. No fear. It's like, we've heard a few things at first, and it's like, that's a lot. But after we worshiped and we prayed and we talked, and it's like, I'm not afraid. That's all taken care of. So the last, I think it was the last month probably, when we heard the how much longer he had and stuff like that, we just sat there and the Holy Spirit said, does that change what you believe? And I said, no, sir, it doesn't. I still believe what I have been believing all this time. I will not let go of it. I stood on it and stood on it, and so did he. And then here we hear another thing, and it's like, still doesn't change what I believe. It didn't make the word change. Jesus didn't freak out. The Holy Spirit didn't go, oh my gosh, we forgot about that. He didn't. And we just stood and stood and stood. I know the outcome isn't what we all had believed for, but he is healed. And he is happy. We're just dealing. We're still dealing with it, but it's better. It's getting better, because I don't know what people do. Do you? What do people do when they don't have the hope that they will see him again? What do they do? I think they lose their mind a little bit. I think they do. I'm so grateful for the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's see. I don't know if I covered that well enough, but Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And this really is a good scripture for this, because people don't realize that there's power in their words. They have no clue. They just think it's funny, it's silly, it's stupid, it makes people laugh, makes people cry, you know. And a lot of people are mean about it, mean with their words. But they're destroyed for lack of knowledge. I don't want to be destroyed because I'm stupid or an idiot for not learning, you know, or not taking what I've heard and do something with it, because you could. You could just be, oh, that was nice, and not do a thing with it. And you know what would happen? Nothing, except everything would just get worse. Worse, more worser. Is that a good word? More words there. The kid, one of my kids used to say that. I don't remember which one. I don't think it was you, though. And Proverbs 18:21 says that life and death are in the power of our tongue. Life and death. So we either speak in life or we are speaking death. And I didn't finish what I was going to say. When Jim went to heaven, he's on his long vacation, his permanent vacation, and praise God, I know he's there. I'm just like, I'm so glad that I believed till the last second. I'm so glad, because had I not, and I was witnessing on the plane to this guy who, he goes, I just can't hear God. I've tried and I've fasted and I just don't know. And I'm like, you're trying too hard, because he's not that hard. And I just told him that the story about we believed and we stood, and I said, and I'm so grateful that I didn't stop believing when things did not go well. Because I would have been a bigger mess than I was. I would have probably been, I don't know, not going to go there. But just knowing that I didn't give in. And I know y'all have been in places like that where you just don't stop. Don't speak fear. Don't ever give up, because the word doesn't ever quit. If it's what you're saying, make sure that you are lining up with the Word of God, because that is the only thing that will carry you through. And thank the Lord, it did and it has. Not saying it's been easy, but it's been there all the time. Holy Spirit's always there. Okay, Proverbs 6:2. You are snared by the words of your lips. You are caught by the speech of your mouth. Snare is a trap. So this is enough to make you want to shut your mouth, I think, because what you say can trap you. And it speaks into your future. So it's so important. Snare meant to ensnare, or a trap, to lay a snare. So you're actually, if you're talking, they say it's flu season, so let's just go there. It's on commercial, it's all over everywhere, and it's like, you know what I do when I hear that on TV? It's flu season, you better be ready. I'm like, I am ready, and I rebuke it. I will never get that. Have I ever gotten it? Yes. But do I stop saying it because I didn't get what I believed for? No. Because I did something wrong, probably. God's not wrong. His word is always right. You doing okay? All right. So don't lay a snare for yourself. Don't lay a snare. And people say stuff, you don't have to rebuke them to their face unless they won't shut up. I have before. I know you have, Joyce. I know you have. You probably have. I mean, but you can just, you know, that we didn't rebuke the doctor, although Jim kind of did a few times. You can imagine. It's a couple of things. He's like, don't ever say that to me again. And they're like, oh, okay, we're sorry. It's like, good, you should be. But, you know, he was one of the favorite patients always. People really loved him. Okay, so let's see. Proverbs 4:23. I don't know if I have. I have to find this one in a different. Oh, I got it. Proverbs 4:23 and 24. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. But put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Do you want to know what those words mean? I love to look up words. Keep here is really guard in a different translation. It's the same thing. It means to guard, to protect, to maintain, to obey. So keep your heart, to protect your heart, to obey and protect your heart, to maintain it. So don't let something stay there that causes an offense or causes fear. Get that junk out of there as quickly as you realize. Now, I'll be honest, a few times it's like I'll sit with the thought for a minute or two, and it's like, wait a second, why am I allowing that to stay there? Get out. Or a pain. Anybody get pains randomly sometimes? And it's like, oh gosh, wonder what that is. And the Holy Spirit will be like, I'm like, oh, sorry, get out of my body. And don't let things, the longer they stay, they start to take a little root. So don't let it sit there. Get rid of it. The word says we're healed by the stripes of Jesus. Amen? So don't let it sit there and goof you up. So keep your heart with all diligence. Your heart, I know I looked that up. Hold on a second. Is actually the heart, widely used for the feelings, so your emotions. Ooh, that's a tough one, huh? The will, even the intellect, it is likewise for the center of anything. So that is what your heart is. And some teachers say that it's your spirit, and some just say it's, you know, it's your will, your emotions, and stuff like that. But if you don't keep your will, your emotions, your intellect in check with the Word of God, how many of you know it just will go nuts sometimes? It just will. Stuff we hear, stuff we see. Somebody bumps you, and it's like, they hate me. I mean, it's just, you know, silly things, but our minds do that, don't they? They didn't smile at me today, so I'm never coming back. It's like, what? But people do that. I swear people do that. I don't swear, but I mean, people do silly things like that. I remember nobody would remember her except Mercedes, probably. Years and years ago, 20, 25 years, probably, Jim was running late, and he always would say hi to her, and he just walked right past her, and she's like, I'm never coming back. You didn't talk to me today. And he's like, well, honestly, I didn't even see you. You know when you're in a rush, you don't see sometimes? You're tunnel visioned, and he could do that. He could be tunnel visioned, but he was really good with people. And she got ticked off, and he's like, I am sorry. I never hurt you on purpose. And what did he always say? Any of you who remember him? If I was mad at you, I would make sure you knew it. He always said that. There would be no question if I was mad at you. Yeah. And sometimes it's like, I'm not sure. Are you mad at me? Yeah. Okay, let me see where we're at here. I did talk about life and death, right? There is a scripture, and I don't think that I looked it up. It is Romans 4:8, I believe. That says there is the law of the spirit of life and the law of the spirit of death. It's a law. Oh, maybe it's not that scripture. It's in there somewhere. 4:8. But that is a law, and that is something that God spoke about in his word many times. Deuteronomy is one of them. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. And I think this is New King James Version. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. It's funny to me, he has to say, choose life. Like they wouldn't be able to figure that out on their own. But people sometimes. And this is the Living Translation. I'm going to make up words as I go. Today I've given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now, who would not choose a blessing instead of a curse? It's in the same vein, but he still had to say it. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. Yeah, like he's just like, please choose life. And it just, it's so funny that he would have to even say that. But he did. Issues of life. Okay. This is Proverbs. Did I give you this? Proverbs 4:23. I think I did. I think that's the one that I was finishing for you. So can I give you a different translation? Proverbs 4:23-24 in the New Living. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Isn't that good? I mean, that's just like, ta-da. Avoid all perverse talk. Stay away from corrupt speech. So keep in your heart. The way you keep your heart is don't listen to the wrong stuff. Some TV shows, some news, it causes fear, it causes worry, it causes the perverseness, all kinds of stuff that can affect your heart. And it says, be careful what you see in Proverbs or Psalms, and be careful what you hear, because these things, our eyes and our ears, we hear and we see all kinds of stuff. But we're not supposed to just allow that. I mean, if we see something or hear something that we don't like, turn it off, especially your television. I mean, Mercedes is really, and I was too, but she's probably better than I was. With our kids, if there was a show with sorcery or witches or warlocks, turn it off. And she was the TV police for her brothers. She was. She's like, you're not supposed to be watching that. And they're just like, Mercedes. But you were right. And so she's good. And now Merritt will be, he'll feel it before it hits. He can feel it. He goes, oh, this is icky. And nothing icky had happened. Then the second later, then it's icky. So it's good to train your kids up like that. I mean, he's 3 and a half and he already feels stuff and knows stuff ahead of time. So that's really cool. So good job, parents, if you're doing that. It's really important. Because they're little eyes. They're little computers and recorders, and they take everything in because they're learning. And they're supposed to learn and take in stuff, but not the wrong stuff. And neither are we. We're not supposed to either. Do you want to know what perverse means in the dictionary? One person? Come on. If you don't, say no. If you do, say yes. Okay. So perverse in the dictionary, so this is perverse lips, which the definition for lips is it's a boundary. It's a border, a boundary. How many of you would have thought that? We'll get to the really good scripture, but not that they're not all good. So number one, turned away from what is right or good, corrupt. Number two, obstinate in opposing what is right, reasonable, or accepted, arising from or indicative of stubbornness. That's perverse, okay? Y'all met somebody like that? Number three is cranky. I know we've met people like that. I wasn't talking about you. And number four is perversion. And in the Strong's, I guess this is in the dictionary. These are some of the other words, which I don't remember what you call them, but bullheaded. Hard-nosed, hard-headed. Jim would always say bone-headed, which is kind of the same thing. Headstrong, immovable, inconvincible, inflexible, obstinate, opinionated, pig-headed, self-willed, stiff-necked. This is what perverse means. Stubborn, unbending, uncompromising, unyielding, and willful. We do not want to talk like that. And people who have given themselves over to that for so long, you can hardly stand to be around them, right? Or listen, don't ask them any questions. How are you today? Oh, sorry, I don't want to know. Right? Please don't tell me. Oh, boy. I know we've all ran into people like that. Okay, let's see. I know I read that to you. Oh, I'll just read this anyway. Ecclesiastes 10:12, and I'm not going to go all the way to 20, but start at 10. The words of a wise person are gracious. The talk of a fool self-destructs. He starts out talking nonsense and ends up spouting insanity and evil. Fools talk way too much, chattering stuff they know nothing about. My father, he was some kind of guy, and he started buying little rental properties, and you know, he would interview the people and stuff, and this one young man came and he talked so much, really boastful, really proud, and oh yeah, we're doing all this and all, you know, blah blah blah. And my dad rented to him. He destroyed the house. He had dogs and puppies born. They tore the kitchen floor up. There was unbelievable amount of dog poo-poo everywhere. That's for you, Brandon. and pee, too. And then puppies that they just, the kitchen floor was dug into the wood, into the underlayment, whatever. And it smelled just like, wow. And then he didn't pay my dad for 3 months. After all his boastful, what a good person he is. And my dad goes, I knew better, because people who talk too much always are talking because there isn't anything good to say about themselves, so they make it up. And he was right. And he took him to court, he never got his money. But, and then all of the fixing of the house, there was way more stuff wrong with it than, boy, oh boy. I'm just like, I will never rent again. I will never do what he did, because, well, there are good people out there that rent. There are good people that rent. Okay, I'm going to skip, I think. Oh, it's Romans 8, verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life makes us free from the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life, everything he did for us, makes us free from the law of sin and death. And we're going to break the power of words that have been spoken over us. We're going to break the ones that we've said. And that'll be it. Then that has no more rule or reign in your life. Amen? How cool is that? I love this scripture. If I have a favorite, which is really hard to pick, it's probably that one. It's really probably that one. Romans 8, 2. Okay, I'm going to skip over here. This is also one of my favorite scriptures in a different way. It's Matthew 12, 34, 37. I don't know if you guys got it. Matthew 12, 34, 37. O generation of vipers, how can ye being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure, or the deposit of the heart, bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word, this really gets me sometimes, every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. How many idle words have we spoken? Ah, oh, boy. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Justified means to render just or innocent. Condemned is pronounced guilty. So by what we say, this should give us all, like, I need to really clean up my mouth a little bit. And not with toothpaste either. I mean, just with clean it up. Sheesh. So let's go back to the first verse. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be a clown up here, but, O generation of vipers, how can you be an evil, speak good things? Well, he's about to answer how. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. The abundance is what's in there in overflow. So that is whatever you are putting in, whatever you're watching, whatever you're saying, whoever you're hanging out with, whatever you give your time to, that's what goes in here in abundance. It overflows, and it can't stay in there without coming out your mouth. All right? But if you're putting the word in, and you're praying, and you're speaking in tongues, and you're listening to the right stuff, I mean, can't be in the word all the time, but we can get it in our hearts so we hear it all the time. When it'll come up every time you need it. But be careful what you hear and what you watch. That is the good treasure. It is the deposit. And your heart will bring forth good things then. Because if you're putting in the right stuff, you're not going to get crummy fruit, you know, rotten, crummy fruit, because we're known by our fruit. So whatever in your heart, it creates fruit in our life. And if we want sweet, not sour fruit, right? Who likes sour fruit? I'm trying to think what's sour. Lemons are sour, but I do like those. Limes? Sour patch. I guess that's kind of... There is a fruit, I don't know where it comes from, that's sour or something, I don't know. But if we don't, and we are expecting then that we've put in so much garbage into our heart, into our head, in our ears, in our eyes... It's not what you eat, it's what you hear, and then what you say that creates our world around us. So when we want, I mean, we're trying to use our authority in the name of Jesus, right? And it doesn't work? Well, what are we talking about all the other time? And that's like a slap, right? Yeah, but it's important to know that. I never heard this stuff when I was growing up. It's right here in Matthew. I never heard that it mattered what you said. I mean, of course, you're not supposed to curse or cuss or use God's name in vain and all of that, and you're not. But that isn't the whole thing. We have to be careful because whatever is going in here, good or bad, eventually comes out your mouth. And then we try to clean up our mouth long enough to get a healing or to pray for somebody, and it doesn't work. And it's like, well, how come it doesn't work? Well, think about what you've been saying. Think about the words that you've been saying. How negative have you been? Are y'all okay? All right. So an evil man can only bring evil treasure out of his heart, out of his mouth. He can't help it. Because he hasn't taken the time to clean it up and fix that, pull down strongholds. So an evil man he can't say the right thing. He can probably read a scripture, but that, you know, that's not even head knowledge. That's just reading. It has to get in there. It has to get in your heart. I'm going to look and tell you what idle word means: inactive, unemployed, lazy, useless, barren, and slow. That's what idle words are. They're barren, they're lazy, they're useless, they're unemployed, they don't do anything, they're inactive. They don't create anything good in your life. So work on that. It's like, is there any? I probably do. But you know what? Even if you don't know, just ask the Holy Ghost and he will tell you. He will quicken it to you when you're talking. Like the other day it was to me. I was like, sorry. The one thing I really want to read to you is what mouth means. Where it says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. This is the translation, or this is not the translation. This is what it says in Strong's, what mouth means. This knocked my boots off when I read this. I had no idea. It means the mouth, as if a gash in the face, which, you know, little mouth, big mouth, whatever, doesn't matter. It's your language, figuratively, an opening in the earth, specifically, the mouth means the front or edge of a weapon. It's a weapon. So the lips are a boundary. Our mouth is a weapon. It can be a good one. It can be a really mean one, a really bad one. So it is a weapon. And you've probably all ran into a buzzsaw a few times where people just can't stop yelling or saying, you know, cussing or whatever. And it's like, they're using it as a bad weapon. But we can use it as a good one against the enemy and against stuff coming at us. We can always do that. It's a good weapon if we have the deposit in here. It also meant it's wealth. So our mouth can be wealth and a treasure. That's pretty cool, huh? Okay, how are we doing on time? I'm okay? And it's important to know that, you know, a lot of times we pray stuff. Now, I don't do this when I pray for people. I don't go and talk about y'all. There, I said y'all again. For you. I don't go and talk about, oh, we prayed for so-and-so for, you know, this or that. No, it's nobody's business, but it's between you and God. A lot of times I do remember, but I don't, nobody else hears it from me. Not ever. Because that's not mine. Mine is to pray and speak the word. And I promise you, I don't. Mercedes doesn't, Brandon doesn't. We don't talk about what we prayed to anybody or about anybody. But it's up to you then when you get prayed for. You are the one that holds on to your healing. Amen. By what you say and what you believe. You can't go by your feelings. You can't go by, well, I just didn't get it because I still hurt there, or I'm still limping. You can't do that, because then you are canceling the prayer. You will cancel it out. And that's why a lot of people come up and they don't feel anything, and they're like, I didn't get it today. Oh, you got it. Yes. We give everything we have, and the Holy Spirit does too. But if you walk away and you say, I'm never going back to that church because they, no, don't do that. This is a team effort. We hear from God, the Holy Spirit. We pray with the anointing, and you receive it. And that's all there is to it, unless you open your mouth. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to help you. Because it's true. I've been there too. I struggled with something. I don't even know what it was after we had a stillbirth. And I couldn't even get out of bed hardly. I lost so much weight. And maybe, I don't know what it was. And I had weird feelings in my head, and I'm just like, okay, well, I don't really know what's going on. And I got prayed for so many times, and I felt the same way. It's like, it didn't leave. It's still there. Well, whose fault is that? Doesn't matter if you feel it or not. You believe what the word says, and you believe what just happened. It's really important to write it down. So if you start feeling gross again, or you still have headaches or whatever it is, still have a pain in your body, when you get prayed for, write the date down, write what it was about, and say, thank you, God, I got it. And when you start feeling crappy, go back to that. You should keep a prayer journal. I know some of you do, but you should. So you can go back and go, oh, no, that was taken care of on March 5th, you know, or... wow, in August I went up for prayer when Hakaday was here, whatever month, I don't remember when he was here. And it's like, he called out a lot of stuff. How many of you kept your healing? You have to, because it was there. It was there. So you have to keep your confession right, this is not what I was going to talk about, but this is God, so. All right, so let's see what else there is. It's so important, though, that you don't give up. Mark 11, I have so many of these stickers, so I wouldn't lose my place. Mark 11, 23, it goes through 26, I'm not sure if I read the whole thing. Whenever anybody hears Mark 11, what do you think? I think Kenneth Hagin. I think faith. So this is Mark, I guess, wrote this. I guess that's why it's called Mark. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he saith. There's a lot of keys in that scripture. You say to the mountain, it can be an actual mountain, but it's probably the mountain that's standing right in your face. I had to do that. It was fear. I had so much fear years ago before she was born. And I'm in there praying, and I'm like, I don't know what is wrong with me. I can't seem to get a handle on it. And the Holy Spirit, I'm in the shower, and he spoke to me as clear. He goes, your mountain is fear. I'm like, really? Well, that doesn't surprise me. And so I rebuked that. Told it just like it says, be cast in the sea. Don't doubt. Doubt means that you question, did I get it? Is it true? And I asked the Holy Spirit to help me not to doubt, help me believe that the things that I prayed would come to pass, and it did. He also gave me scriptures to stand on, and I think it's 1 Timothy, is it, Mercedes? God's not given me a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. I said that probably a million times, and then taught you to do the same thing. But I mean, that's what you have to do, because I didn't believe it the first probably 1,000 times I said it. I didn't believe it. It's like I still was afraid. But when I spoke to that mountain, and that's what you have to do. Find out what the mountain is in your life. And then you can cast that sucker away. Okay. And it does say, the next scripture, I was about to move, but what things soever ye desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, here's another key, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you your trespasses. So that's really so important. Make sure you don't have unforgiveness. And ask the Holy Spirit, because sometimes it's been so long that you don't remember. And sometimes you do, you really know. Just ask him, do I still have unforgiveness? And their face will come right there, just like a mountain, right there. One of them was my grandfather. And I was little, I was 3 or 4. And he made fun of the way I talked. He said, you talk with your tongue sticking out. And he's like, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, well, I don't even know what you're talking about, but that's kind of harsh. And just way more things. And so in school, I would not talk to anybody. I'm like, I talk funny, so And that stayed with me for a long time until I heard this on forgiveness. And I forgave him, and he wasn't a bad man. He just thought he was being funny. You know, people say all kinds of stuff, and I suppose he thought I would laugh, but I did not. I cried a lot about that. But forgiving him caused that, the first layer of healing. And I had to do it again, and forgiving him caused another, and I don't hold anything against him. He didn't know what he was doing. That's what Jesus said. Forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. And that's how we should act. Some people deserve to be unforgiven. But we don't deserve to unforgive because it doesn't hurt them. It hurts us. So it's important to not hold anything. And I mean, some people are just like, oh, nobody in this room, I promise. But they were a long time ago, and it doesn't hurt them. They don't even know. They have no clue. So don't let it sit in your heart, because it will affect everything you do. It really will. I'm trying not to go too long here. I'm going to give you this. Ooh, there's so many good scriptures. But I'm going to give you this last one, and this is part of our confession. It's the only scripture I've found that says it so plainly, but it's Isaiah 33:24. That when I saw this, it's like, oh, you ready? And the inhabitant shall not say, I am sick. You shall not say that. The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity, but the inhabitant shall not say it. That is so, that just grabs me. Because it's easy, and I go to see Arizona where all the older people are, and that's what they talk about. I've been dealing with it. I'm having another surgery. Everything hurts, and it stinks getting old. They say a different word than that, but it's like the inhabitant. I take that to myself. Deborah, you shall not say you are sick. You shall not say that. You give it more power, and you don't want to give it more power. You know, Jim didn't talk about it. That's why a lot of you didn't know what was really going on for a while until we decided. But he didn't. He said, I'm healed. The last few days, I wasn't there. I was there, but not at that time. And he was just asleep, drugged pretty much. And Micah, the oldest son, and Mercedes were there, and they were crying, and they were just holding his hands and stuff. And he opened his eyes, and he said, would you stop worrying about me? I am not dying. And he closed his eyes. That's probably the last thing he said, the very last thing he said. So he held on to it. And you know what? God bless him. We should hang on to what we believe. No matter what, don't give in, don't give up, don't give the devil 1 inch. Or centimeter or millimeter. Don't give him anything. A piece of hair, don't give him anything. He doesn't deserve it, because he is such a tool. Oh, shoot, I shut this and I gotta find what we were gonna pray over this. Do I want you to stand up? I'm not sure, maybe. I'll find it. But we're gonna take authority over the words that were spoken, okay? Because I know you've all heard things that have not been great, or you've said them about your kids, maybe, or maybe your parents said, they're just trouble to me, they're never going to amount to anything. Anybody heard that? I didn't hear stuff like that, but I heard it about other people. I heard other things. And, you know, people just don't realize what's going on. I do want to give you this scripture before we get into it. Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void. This is God, obviously. But it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing which I sent it. It will not return void. It cannot return void. The word of God is so powerful. It can only prosper where God sends it. It can only do that. here's the scripture I sort of gave to you, Isaiah 54:17. We're going to use this. Now you have this scripture, okay? No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me. Isn't that cool? We always go, God, would you just take care of that? He says, us do it. Us do it. We condemn those. We condemn those words. We pull them down. And just, they, no, that's not me. That's, you don't get to say stuff like that. This is the scripture we're going to pray too. That one and this one. Psalms 141:3. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Isn't that simple? But it's powerful. And it has worked in my life for probably 35 years. And I'm only 40. Which is weird because Mercedes is 34. Oh, you say it all the time. You know, but it changed my life, literally changed my life. And I pray that it will change yours. So do you want to stand up? Why don't we stand up? I don't know where I wrote it. It doesn't matter anyway. So you can close your eyes. I want you to believe this with your heart, that this is the end, that the things spoken against you are over, and that from now on you will speak what is right. And don't feel bad if you mess up, because wowee, I still mess up sometimes, but just be ready and open to correct it. And if your thoughts go crazy, call them into obedience to Jesus Christ. And I don't know where that scripture is. I should know. Corinthians, maybe. Okay, so, Father God, you guys can say this after me. Father God, I come to you now. I know there's been words spoken, and I have spoken some. And I pull them down right now in Jesus' mighty name. And I condemned every one of them. This is my heritage as a servant of the Lord, and your righteousness is from the Lord. Now, Father God, I ask you, according to Psalms 141:3, to set a guard over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. And I thank you for it, God. I thank you so much, Lord God. Now, just begin to thank him that it's done. Those words are broken, and he will watch you. He really will do it because he did it for me. I could feel it because he would correct me if I said the wrong thing. Yeah. Aren't you excited? I'm so excited. All right, so I think we'll finish with the confession that we've been doing. I don't know what it's, I know what it says, but. Okay, so you say it with me. You don't have to repeat it, just say it with me. I live by faith, not by fear. Satan is under my feet. I have a covenant with Jesus, he loves me. Miracles are what I breathe. Angels minister to me. And Jesus is the one true King. Hallelujah.
Thanks again for joining us for the Liberty Church podcast. If you have prayer requests, you can always email those prayer requests at prayer@libertyofomaha.com. And we love to hear your praise reports. Email those at amen@libertyofomaha.com. For more information on Liberty Church, visit us at libertyofomaha.com. Thanks so much for joining us, and have a great day.